Hello again, and welcome to another edition of the 5-Minute Audio Dvar Torah. This week's Parsha is Parshat Ki Tisa. Before we get started, I'd like to offer apologies for last week's failure to bring you a audio recording on Parshat Tetzaveh due to weather conditions and power outage. However, this week we find ourselves basking in the hazy afterglow of Purim, for some perhaps a hazier afterglow than perhaps for some others. And in fact, our Parsha Ki Tisa always follows in the proximity of Purim, and there are many remuzim, many hints and connections and links from this week's Parsha to the holiday of Purim. I will just share with you one or two before we get to the heart and substance of our Dvar Torah this week. First, as you know, at the end of this week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he comes down from Har Sinai, he realizes that his face is aglow, and therefore he puts on his face a masveh, a mask, which is something that is very, very common to see people putting on masks on Purim, costumes, etc., and so forth. Moreover, the Gemara in Megillah says, Mordechai min haTorah minayin, and it cites a pasuk from this week's Parsha, Mar Deror, which is interpreted, or the Targum cites, Unkelah says, Mera Dachya, which is Mordechai. And there are many other links to this week's Parsha as well as to the holiday of Purim. However, moving on to the substance of this week's Dvar Torah, I would like to share with you two ideas, one from Rabbi Radinsky and one from Rabbi Satorsky, with regard to the Shvirat HaLuchot, why Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchot in his reaction to the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. And Rabbi Radinsky raises the very interesting and perhaps counterintuitive position that Moshe Rabbeinu took in terms of breaking the Luchot. And he offers a parable. If a Rebbe sees that his students are acting up in the Beis Medrash, they are rebelling, they are not studying Torah, they are doing the wrong things. So what does the Rebbe go ahead and do? Does he, in fact, take the Torah in front of his students and rip it to shreds and burn it and raise the Beis Medrash to the ground? What effort, what effect, what productive or constructive effect is that going to have on the students? Zero. As a matter of fact, they're not going to have the implements to regain their footing. So how does breaking the Luchot, as Moshe Rabbeinu did, cause an uplifting or an uprising for a raising up of their spirits to Bnei Israel? How is it consistent in terms of a punishment for what it is that they did? And he explains as follows. He explains that the Luchot, in many ways, could be the modern-day equivalent, if you will, as he puts it, as a hard drive. It was the embodiment of Torah itself. And as we, Bnei Yisrael at that time, the Dor Dea in the Midbar, heard the Aseret HaDibrot from Hashem and directly from Har Sinai, we got a feeling and a sense that we were masters of Torah. We got it directly from God, and therefore we knew everything that there was needed to know, and we felt like we were 100% complete. And yet that feeling of completion perhaps is exactly what caused our downfall very shortly thereafter to commit the sin of the golden calf. Because if we are so great and so complete, we can't possibly do anything wrong, so that which we did couldn't possibly be wrong. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to break the Luchot, which is the centerpiece, which is the full the full embodiment of Torah, for the Jewish people to realize that they are not the masters of Torah, and they have to rebuild again. They have to feel incomplete about their Torah knowledge. And he goes on to suggest that that is why Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was on Har Sinai, had to be, Hashem kept teaching him, and he kept forgetting his learning. We as Jews also learn so much, and then we forget what we learn. We should never, ever feel that we are complete in our learning, because the moment that we feel like we are masters of our learning, we are destined to do something which is sinful. Therefore, by breaking the Luchot, Moshe showed that we should not ever feel that we are whole and complete, but we are always looking to try to reach wholeness and completeness without ever really attaining it. Moreover, Rabbi Satorsky offers a second suggestion, which stems from the explanation in the Gemara, which says that because the Chet HaEgel was some form or smacked of Avodah Zarah, even though much of Chazal says that it wasn't Avodah Zarah per se, that therefore Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchot, because it says in the Gemara that anyone that breaks any kind of a kli, any kind of a vessel or utensil, it is as if you have worshipped idols. It's as if you were Oved Avodah Zarah. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, in trying to defend the Jewish people, broke the Luchot to show Hashem, look, I broke the Luchot, and therefore, according to the concept in the Gemara, that if you break something, it's as if you were Oved Avodah Zarah, I too am like my people. So he was Moser Nefesh, Moshe Rabbeinu, to show Hashem that he was like them, that he was Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. It's as if he worshipped Avodah Zarah, and therefore, if you're going to wipe out the Jewish people, you must wipe me out, therefore, too. And realizing that Hashem would not want to do that, he therefore saved the Jewish people from a very horrible fate. This week's Parsha, Parshat Ki Tisa, is dramatic as well as a throwback and a link to Purim, as we mentioned earlier. And as we look forward to Pesach upcoming, we wish everybody a very happy, wonderful, good Shabbos. Thank you.